Now, I want to start off by telling you some sort of a story, but you need to help me, and I need to get your brains into gear, and there will be a clue as to what I'm going to preach about. Now, as it happens, I know five people who had their birthday on Friday. Now, just answering the question, and please don't start filling in things or telling things before I ask you, because otherwise you may give the clue away too quickly. What was the date on Friday? 22nd. Now, of these five people who have had their birthday on Friday, and that I know of, four are male. No, I do it wrong. No, I did it right, sorry. Four are male, one is female. Three are children, two are adults. Four live in this country, one abroad. Four are not in this church, and one is. Now, I have reason to believe that you know two of them, or at least know of two of them. You won't know my great-nephew Tobias, or Tobias, as you say in English, who turned two on Friday. Obviously, he is the one who does not live in this country. But I guess you all know one other person who is not in this church, who had their birthday on Friday. Any guesses? It was Prince George, well done. Yes, it was Prince George, and I think he turned three. Now, and who was the person in our church who had their birthday on Friday? Who knows that? Sophia Hope, yep. And there is a clue in that name as to what the topic of my sermon will be. And you may have guessed it by now, I'm going to talk about hope. And it's following on very much from what Sandra and Angie have already shared this morning. Just look at the situation in this world. What does it mean that Christians have hope? The country of South Sudan in Africa became independent 5 years ago from the larger country of Sudan after many years of civil wars. But then again, in South Sudan itself, civil war broke out about a year ago. And today, 1 million people of the 12 million population are refugees in neighboring countries because of the war. There is political instability, there is famine, and a lot of insecurity. One other example. 2 years ago, 200,000 Yazidis from northern Iraq had to flee into the mountains because of the activities of IS. Many are now still living in primitive circumstances, some in the mountains and some in Dohuk, a city in Iraqi Kurdistan, where they often have to live in half-built houses because there is nowhere else for them to stay. Closer to home, we all know about it. 10 days ago, the world was shaken up by the terrorist attack in Nice in France, which took the lives of at least 84 people, left many wounded. And then, a lot more recent, Friday evening, a man killed 9 people in a shopping center in Munich in Germany. On a different level, what we all know all about is the referendum that took place a month ago, leading to Brexit. And I actually read in a newspaper that for some people this leads already to a huge level of insecurity. The implications of the UK leaving the EU are still unknown. And we don't know if the changes will be for the better or the worse, and probably that partly depends on your own political viewpoints. But I read in a newspaper that it has already led to the increase of people seeking support from psychologists and counsellors. They are worried about the impact of Brexit on their personal lives. They are worried that they may lose their jobs, that in a few years' time they will no longer be able to pay their mortgage, and they can't cope with the anxiety this causes. There is an awful lot going on in the world, and hardly a day goes by at the moment where we are not shaken up by bad news. And if it isn't elsewhere in the world, it could be in our own lives. You know, illness, loss of your job, difficult jobs, there can be loads of things. You may remember that Steve preached about fear a couple of months ago, saying, as Christians, we don't have to be afraid, regardless of our circumstances, because the Lord is with us. When I preached in April, I talked about how God encourages us not only to bring him our concerns and worries, but also to leave them with him at the foot of the cross. Now you might say, well, it's all nice and well. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be worried. But what do we do instead with all these uncertainties in life? And I would like to suggest that one thing we can do is put our hope in God. Like I told in the children's story, we humans can hope for all sorts of things. A couple of weeks ago, I bet that many of us were hoping for nicer weather and for the rains to stop. And I guess now many of us hope for cooler weather. Maybe you hoped that Andrew Murray would win Wimbledon and your hope came true. Maybe you hoped that England would win the UEFA Cup and your hope did not come true. When you're jobless, you hope to find a job. A lot of people, when they are single, they hope to find a partner. When they are married, they hope to get children. And when they have children, they hope that they will do well in life. And I guess when you live in South Sudan or are one of their refugees, you hope for peace. And it's quite possible that the Yazidis hope that one day soon they can return home. People want their children to grow up in safety. They want to live in safety. When you voted out at the referendum, you may now hope that the UK will actually leave the EU as soon as possible. When you voted in, you may hope that there won't be too much change affecting your daily life. And I'm quite sure that all of us hope that there will come an end to all the terrorist attacks. But we all know too that all our human hopes don't always come true. And sometimes that's not too bad, you know, depending on your priorities in life and the circumstances. It doesn't really matter too much when the weather isn't too nice during your holidays, when England doesn't win the UEFA Cup. It gets more serious and more difficult when we don't find a job, when we don't get married when we would really like to, we don't get the children we had hoped for so badly, or when our children live a life we're not happy with, or are struggling with illness or problems, when the economy spirals downhill, when war and hunger and terrorist attacks do not stop. All these things can make us feel hopeless. So what does it mean, then, for a Christian to have hope? Now let me ask you the question, maybe just one or two. What would you say that in this context of the present day and age, what does it mean to you that as a Christian we have hope? Yeah, indeed, the hope for the things yet unseen, which is faith, which is one level, I would say. I think we have the hope, the certainty, and that's why I asked Margaret to read the verse from Hebrews 11, that one day everything will be completely well when we are in heaven or when Jesus comes back. But I would like to suggest that there is another layer, as it were, to Christian hope. Because I would say it also has meaning for us today. And I'll give you an example from more or less my personal life. I think some of you know that one of my sisters was a while ago diagnosed with a rare type of thyroid cancer. And cutting a long story short, she had surgery at the end of June. But when the doctors were operating, they had to decide not to remove anything because it was too far gone. And we knew that was a possibility. And when I phoned my brother-in-law at the end of that day to find out how the surgery had gone, he started off by telling me this. He said, in our quiet time, we read Psalm 43, hence my choice for that psalm. And particularly the last verse spoke to him and my sister. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And then the surgery didn't work out as we had hoped for. Clearly, it doesn't imply that we have, the fact that we have hope as a Christian doesn't imply that life always goes as we would like it. Bad things happen to Christians as much as to anyone else. We can't escape the difficulties in life. And it feels like a paradox, because on the one hand you have this hope, and on the other hand you have all these problems. So does that then mean that we have to go to the other extreme and can't hope for any improvement or change of our circumstances? That we can't pray for a job, a partner, someone's healing? And that we can't pray about circumstances that we can't influence as an individual, like the impact of Brexit, illness, terrorist attacks? Personally, I think we can pray about these issues, because the Bible says we can ask the Lord anything. He wants to know. And I think that's where Psalm 43 comes in. The psalmist says, put your hope in God. He is your Savior and your God. Whatever life throws at us, either personally or countrywide or worldwide, He is our hope. And as I think Chandra already said, it means that we know that God is in control, whatever happens. And it doesn't mean necessarily that we get clarity right away of what's going to happen. If I go back to my sister, she still doesn't know what the future holds in terms of her health, although there is now a treatment plan in place. But she does know, and we do know, that he is in the situation, and she is a lot more at peace than she was a couple of months ago. To give you another example where I've seen that God sometimes opens completely unexpected doors and goes away that you don't expect. I attended a prayer meeting for a close friend of mine who had poor mobility as a result of serious illness. And he wanted so much to be able to walk properly again, to run, to play with his children. And at that meeting, he poured out his heart before God and asked him for physical healing. But it didn't happen. It still hasn't happened. Now, my friend could have become desperate at that point, angry with God, left God because he didn't give him what he asked for or hoped for. But in due course, he started to realize that God had answered his prayer, but in a very different way. That prayer meeting was the start of a process of inner healing, during which emotional wounds from the past were healed. And as a result, he became a lot more able to receive God's love for him and to pass God's love on to others. His physical health hasn't changed that much, but his relationship with God has become so much deeper. So as I said, I would like to suggest that as Christians, we have hope on two levels. We can have hope that God will be with us every day, regardless of the circumstances, and that he is in control. And even when we don't see it, that he is there with us, whatever is happening, on a small scale, on a big scale. And we have the hope, the certainty, that one day everything will be made well. The day will come that he will wipe every tear from our eyes, when there won't be any more pain or sadness. So we have hope as Christians. We have hope for our lives now and for the future. As Hebrews 11 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for. Our hope is not a let's hope so, as we often use the word. It is a certainty. In the circumstances of our lives, we have the certainty that God is in control. Even when we don't find a job, when we don't get better from a serious illness, when the economy spirals down, and add your own examples. But we have the hope, the certainty that God is in it, and that one day all will be well. Christian hope does not mean that all difficulties in life are taken away from us or that we sail through them without agony or pain. But it does mean that whatever happens, we know that our Lord and Father is with us and is in control. He has the bigger picture, and we know that ultimately we have a future with him. We know that one day we will be with him forever. So therefore, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Now, what I would like us to do now is spend a few minutes in a time of reflection, and I would like to ask Steve to come up and start playing the tune of the last hymn before we sing it. And just take some moments of quiet prayer and ask yourselves, where do I put my hope in? Who do I put my hope in? Have you got stuck in certain circumstances? Are you focusing on the circumstances more than on God? Have you got your hope dashed in life? And if you say your hope is in God, do you really trust him? He wants to be there for you. He wants to be the number one in your life. Whatever the circumstances, he is in control, even when everything seems out of control. We don't have to worry or be afraid or desperate, because he is our hope. So let's just listen to the tune of the last song.